Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life. The New Testament reading comes from 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Praise
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the Lord. Take a moment and consider playground games. Often all who wish to play line up, and captains select who they want on their team. They choose them. A current ad campaign plays on this by noting that certain choices are easy. Who does not want Charles Barkley on their pickup basketball team? While on the playground, everyone eventually gets chosen, only a select few get the privilege of early selection. These ones have gifts and skills that make them prized picks. Not everyone gets to be a prized pick. Perhaps most people experience the sense of rejection of being the last pick. Some can really do something with that position of being the last pick. Consider Brock Purdy, who 2 years ago was the last pick in the NFL draft. Mr. Irrelevant, they call this pick. 2 years later, he played as the quarterback in last week's Super Bowl. Not many of us can take irrelevance to such a winning position. Now hold on to how those selection moments, those moments of choosing and of being chosen, felt for you. Over the past few weeks, a group of members of St. Andrew's studied together a book called Language for God, A Lutheran Perspective by Mary Stroyfert. Through rich conversation, this group engaged and wrestled with a whole variety of considerations about expanding language in the church to multi-gendered references to God. One element of the conversation challenged readers to consider ways that following Jesus put early Christians at risk for persecution. You see, they believed in and worshiped the God of the Israelites. This would have allowed them to a carve out in the Roman expectation that they worship and make sacrifice to Caesar. But the Apostle Paul encouraged those who were not already Jewish to follow Jesus without becoming Jewish. And of course, for men, the notable sign for becoming Jewish was circumcision. The choice not to submit to circumcision becoming Jewish raised questions about whether these Christ followers fit within the Roman Empire's religious carve-out.
These people defy the laws of the Roman Empire and also the Jewish expectation. In this, Paul subverts the authority of Rome while also arguing that in Christ there exists freedom beyond the Jewish tradition. Thinking all of this through challenges today's readers. Identifying this resistance to both religious and political pressures frustrates those who have grown so accustomed to these readings. Yet this sets the background for understanding the suffering the audience to Peter's first letter might experience. They are indeed experiencing suffering, perhaps persecution. And in the midst of that, unlike Paul, the author of 1 Peter offers dubious counsel. Conform. Slaves, submit to the authority of masters. Wives, submit to authority of husbands. Endure the pain of injustice. Certainly, it's possible the author may worry that not conforming brings greater threat and cost to these followers of Jesus. The guidance, though, helps today's reader note that the author speaks not to 21st century audiences. Listening, hearing, and understanding this letter requires careful interpretive steps. The audience for the letter experienced what the author calls a fiery ordeal. They need support. They need encouragement. The author draws together and comments on both Noah's story of God's covenant with Noah and all creation, even while recounting the baptism of Jesus. The author points out that Jesus, his suffering and death, happens once for all. See, that first audience experienced being outsiders. Yet they need to remember that Christ's passion is not something to imitate. Rather, Jesus' suffering offers encouragement in the midst of suffering. In a similar light, the author of 1 Peter focuses on salvation through waters in Noah's stories and not on judgment. He says, a few, that is, eight persons, were saved. More so, those saved experience that salvation through the water, being carried through the water and on the water, not from the water. Water has saving power. Whether Peter's instruction to conform or Paul's guidance to resist, the audience receives strength for their journey. Early on, the author of this letter tells those who experience outsider status, those who are suffering right now, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It feels good to be chosen. However, for the faithful, status as chosen by Jesus, by God, the ultimate mother, father, has implications much larger than those of playground games. status as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, calls the faithful to resist all that denigrates nature, all that denigrates outsiders. In this time, when legislatures and political structures too easily protect animal welfare while constructing laws that intentionally withhold care from women and children and those deemed unworthy outsiders, such as transgender individuals, the church must wrestle with a question of substance. Chosen for what? The author tells us that the faithful are chosen in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Out of the darkness of rejection, out of the darkness of being other, out of the darkness of oppression, and for those who do not experience such darkness, the call invites reaching out and inviting all creation, all people, all who experience othering in any form into the promise that they too are chosen, beloved, and sustained by God's grace. The stakes transcend playground games.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.